And continuing in the 17th chapter of John, I'll speak to you from verse 16, but I want to read verse 14, 15, and 16 from John chapter 17. This part of the Lord's prayer, his mediatorial prayer, his high priestly prayer. And so in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. And many things flood my heart and soul and mind when I think of how thankful that I am and ought to be for the privilege of coming to you in prayer. For in coming to you, we confess our sins and our shortcomings and our misgivings and our failures and our frustrations. And we know that you understand. We know that you forgive our sins and our shortcomings and errors and mistakes. We're thankful for that. Thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And thank you that you tell us that if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us, dear Lord, to forsake sin and to hate the sin and to love righteousness. Thank you for that inward work of the Holy Spirit within your children. We know that that which is born of the flesh remains flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that these are contrary the one to the other. Strengthen us in our weaknesses and help us to serve you acceptably. Come for us soon when we'll have our glorified bodies and be like you without sin and in a land without sin. I come, dear Lord, to ask for every needed grace. We thank you for the privilege of coming here and preaching your word over these airwaves. I thank you for those that request and receive tapes, and ask you to bless all the ministry for your glory. I'm nothing and have nothing except that which you have made me and given me. I ask you to bless the message this morning. Help us, dear Lord, to serve you acceptably day by day. We come in behalf of bereaved ones and sick and troubled ones. In Jesus' name and for his sake I pray, amen. I take verse 16, a statement there. Jesus said, I'm not of the world even, or they are not of the world even as I am not of the world. So we who are children of God, we are in the world, but not of the world. That same statement's made in verse 14 and verse 16, they are not of the world, which just means that God's people are not of the world system, not of the world of unbelievers. Jesus had pointed out this fact back in John chapter 15 and verse 19, when he said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Here in John 17:14, Jesus was setting forth the main reason for the world's hatred for his people. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In verse 15, then, he asks the Father to keep them from the evil because they are not of the world. So if time permits, this morning I want us to notice about three things here. Number one, reasons for the world's hatred. Number two, ways in which we are not of the world. And number three, why we need to be reminded that we're not of the world. Reasons for the world's hatred are mentioned in the Word of God, and we do not like to think about that, maybe, as children of God, but our election causes the world to hate us. That's what Jesus had said in John 15:19 that I read to you a moment ago. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So we have been chosen out of the world. And he said this causes the world to hate us. Our possession and propagation of the word that he mentions in verse 14 of John chapter 17 causes the world to hate us, he said. He said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And our separation from the world, the Apostle Paul mentions this a number of times, but in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, he just simply states, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness, but rather reprove them. And my brother, my sister in Christ, if you've been a Christian very long, you know the truth of this, that if you do not have fellowship with the works of darkness, if you do not have fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness, but rather reprove them, then you're not going to have the smile of the world. God commands his children to be separate from the children of the world and have no fellowship in that respect with them. I notice some ways in which we're not of the world. But think about this, child of God. We were of the world, but we were chosen out of the world. That's what the Lord said in that verse that I've given you a couple of times already, John 15:19. But in the book of Ephesians, in the second chapter, in the first two or three verses there, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now just pause and think. If you're a Christian today, if you have a right relationship with God, if you know that you have been born again and that you're a member of the family of God, you know that that's not always been the case. You know that there was a time when you were lost, when you were unsaved, when you were not born of the Spirit of God, and when you walked in darkness, and when, as the Bible says, you were spiritually dead. But you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Listen now. And see if you can't relate to this, Christian. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So there's a time, even though you have been lifted out of that horrible pit of sin and had your feet placed on the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's put a new song in your mouth, as the psalmist said, even though all of that has happened, that's not always been the situation with you. Because there was a time when we were dead in trespasses and sin until God, by his grace, quickened us and gave unto us spiritual life, which is eternal life. But we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now we have a different standing. Theirs is in Adam, ours is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing about this to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 45, says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Now, Adam is the head of the earthly race. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." That is, we've all sinned in Adam. And of course, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've sinned in Adam. We do daily come short of the glory of God. But Adam's the head of the earthly race. Christ is the head of the heavenly race. In this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The world is condemned. That is, the world of unbelievers are condemned. John 3:18 says that. "He that believeth not is condemned already." So the world of unbelievers are condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We who are saved, we have been made accepted in the Beloved. We go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and beginning in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace," listen now, "wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved." So the world of unbelievers are condemned. We who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ are made accepted in the Beloved. The world is under the abiding wrath of God. John chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." We have been delivered from the wrath of God, Romans 5:9. "Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." The unbeliever is abiding under the wrath of God. The believer has now been justified by the blood of Christ and shall be saved from wrath through him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." The world of unbelievers have had but one birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We who are saved have been born again. that scripture goes on to say in John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The world of unbelievers has a different father than we have. John 8:44, he said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. The world has a different destiny than we have. Revelation 21:8 said, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now, why we need to be reminded that we are not of the world. My brother, my sister in Christ, we need this reminder often. We once walked in the ways of the world, and we are prone to return to the ways of the world because we still have an old nature. The Apostle Paul, in the 7th chapter of Romans, beginning in verse 15, said, for that which I do, I allow not. Paul didn't understand why he did some of the things that he did. Can you not say that, my Christian friend this morning? Do you not do some things, say some things, think some things that you don't understand why that you did? You know that Christ is your Savior. You know that He shed His blood for you. You know that you have faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know that you have been born again. You know that God lives in your heart by the Spirit of God that is in you. And yet things crop up in your life. And you say, I don't understand. I don't know. I'm disappointed in myself. He said, for what I would or what I want to do, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. In all honesty, don't there come times when you look back on the day past and you say, when such a thing happened, or when you had such a thought, or spoke such a word, or did such a deed, you say, I wish I had turned the other way instead of turning that way. That, my listener, we're going to contend with as long as we live in the flesh. And the better that you know this, and the longer that you experience this, the more that your Christian heart is going to cry out, as John cried from the lonely Isle of Patmos, even so come, Lord Jesus. Because you know that when He comes, that we're going to be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We're going to be without sin like Him. We're going to have a glorified body. But the apostle goes on in this chapter 7 of Romans. If then I do that which I would not, I consent or I agree unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now listen to this next verse. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's a good thing to know, my brother, my sister in Christ. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You know, no wonder that the Apostle John said that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But the Apostle Paul goes on to write here in Romans chapter 7, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Listen to this cry. And Paul's not the only one that's made this cry. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, or from this body of death? And then he proclaims in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the law, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Often, we're not aware of the sinfulness of this world. The Apostle James, writing in that little book that bears his name in James chapter 4 and verse 4. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, behold, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity of God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, we don't like to think about being an enemy of God, but he said, if you're a friend of the world, then you're the enemy of God. In Paul's writing to the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, mortify, which means make to die, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection or lust, evil concupiscence or desires, and covetousness or greed, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But these things are what God saves us from and gives us power to turn away from if we but seek that power. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation or trial taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The way of escape is always there, my Christian friend. But sometimes, instead of seeking the way of escape, we turn to the temptation, yield to it. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to it is sin. It is out of character for a Christian to be in line with the world. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hebrews chapter 11, where we have that roll call of faith. Verse 16 says, now they desire a better country. There is no satisfaction that lasts in the sins of this world. I know that the Bible speaks about the pleasures of sin for a season. We need to be reminded of our circumstance in the world. We are pilgrims. Psalms 39 and verse 12, the psalmist said, I'm a sojourner, as all my fathers were. We are called to better things than what this world has to offer. As Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12, he said, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." My listener, this morning, you have been called to glory if you're a child of God. And the apostle, writing to the Colossians, said in another place, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." So remember, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And may the world know that. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're saved, live for him. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you, and until we meet again, goodbye.